Blog Talk Radio.
I'm talking about Motown Maurice right down here in the state of Florida.
And we've got Motown Maurice of the Motown Maurice Show.
I'm going to introduce you to Motown Maurice.
We have special, special, special guest, Motown Maurice.
Motown Maurice.
Speaking of crazy, we have Motown Maurice,
a man who is trying to put Tampa on the map for late night television.
He is not the next Arsenio Hall. He is the first Motown Maurice.
For those of you who haven't had a chance to experience Motown Maurice,
you have to understand he is very persistent.
And now he has transitioned
from Tampa to Los Angeles, California.
He's now in Los Angeles.
Continuing his pursuit of the quest of a late night talk show host.
Keep an eye on Motown.
Absolutely.
Keep an eye on that gentleman. One day this man is going to be the new face of late night.
Motown, we love you.
Motown Maurice, are you on the line?
And now, your host, Motown Maurice.
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and good afternoon, wherever you are. This is Motown Maurice, and I am back for another round of Motown Maurice's Hustle and Shuffle. I know you're excited because there's always something great to be excited about. Last week, I had a series of quotes to share with you to inspire you to start off your day and your interview. And today, I'm going to move on. I'm going to bring on two more quotes to share with you so you can ponder and think about and digest and do whatever you like with. The first quote is, Life is not a problem to be solved, but a reality to be experienced. I'm going to say that one more time. Life is not a problem to be solved, but a reality to experience. So basically, enjoy your life. Enjoy everything that comes in front of you. And the other quote, which is quoted by the great Muhammad Ali, a man who views the world the same at 50 as he did at 20, wasted 30 years of his life. That's a deep one. Pay attention. Listen. So that reminds me of my guest today because he's constantly viewing the world differently and improving and making himself better as a performer and actor. As a matter of fact, if I just called him an actor, I would not be justifying who he was. If I just called him a dancer, I would give him no justice in this interview because he is the jack of all trades. Yes, he was born in Kabul, Afghanistan, and grew up in Orange County, California. Ladies and gentlemen, please put it up. Make your hands clap. Make some noise for the jack of all trades, Mir Waiz Najibi. Mir, how you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for that intro, Motown. Appreciate it. I'm doing good.
Oh, without a doubt, without a doubt. I'm glad to have you on the show so we can chit-chat and talk about some of the great things that are going on in your life. You, indeed, are the jack of all trades because you just strive to always improve and add more things to your arsenal. Doesn't that get difficult and challenging at times just to always want to do more and improve? How do you take upon that?
It's actually very hard. I would have to say, and I can only speak for myself here, this is probably the hardest thing I've ever had to do in pursuing a career in acting. There's always things you have to look at, and there's always things you have to change. For example, this is what I'm selling. I'm selling myself. I don't say that to sound vain, but there's a lot of truth to that. It's like I always have to think, how can I keep packaging myself in the right way to catch the person's attention? Mm-hmm. What else can I do? How else can I keep representing in the way that's going to make that one person or that right person say, oh, my gosh, I need that person for my project. So it's always thinking outside the box and looking at yourself like a work in progress and see what else could be added. A little bit more of this, a little bit less of that. It's like you treat yourself like a guinea pig, so then you experiment with different things and see how the results come out. And I think that method has actually worked for me personally, and it can get you pretty creative and get you to think outside the box. Like, for example, it comes to headshots. You know, you want headshots where you're clean-shaven, headshots where you got a goatee, shots where you're all dressed up in a suit, starts to show your personality, because
yeah.
you can't just limit yourself to just one thing, because then they're going to be like, what else can you do? It's such a competitive industry out there. Everybody wants to make it. Everybody wants a piece of the pie. I just mm-hmm. want to, but I want the whole thing. I don't want just a piece. And if I want the whole thing, then I got to strive to become the best and figure out what I can do to beat my competition. That's what it comes down to.
Absolutely. Then that's by being the full, complete package, as you are doing. That is very clever because, I mean, on your resume, you've done some dramatic work. You've done some comedic work, some sci-fi, some theater, some voiceover work. Voiceover. That's some work that I would like to get into. And you have actually accomplished something great within your voiceover work. You completed a audiobook, correct?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. It was a very, very exciting thing to be a part of. There was a book that was published called In the Sea, There Are Crocodiles, and the author is Fabio Geda, and that's spelled G-E-D-A, if anybody wants to look that up. And it's based on Afghanistan, about this young boy who's abandoned by his family, and he goes on this mission to find them. It's loosely a true story, but due to a lot of events couldn't be 100% verified, it's considered a work of fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And when the audiobook was in production, they needed a voice actor, and I had auditioned for the company a few years ago, and they remembered me, and they looked me up and invited me back to audition for this book. So, you know, it goes to show you, sometimes you have to just really remember to always give your best at every situation you're at, because whether you get it or not, they may like you, but just like somebody else a little more at that time, but they may remember you, and it'll come back sometime later, and that's essentially what happened.
Mm-hmm.
It made a good impression for them to remember me 3 years later, and here I am now with that huge credential.
Very nice.
And,
you said they contacted you a few years later?
Yes, yes. I
wow.
auditioned for them around 08 for a different book, and the audition went okay. I don't know. Yeah, you have a interesting point there. That's a great question. I have no idea. I'm stunned. I mean, who goes out of the way to find somebody like that? I mean, I feel so blessed that the lady did. I thanked her a million times. I mean, she even sent me a review recently that the book got on Audiophile magazine, which
Very
is
nice.
The main source for all audiobooks and all the actors who take part in them. And it was told in the review that I told the story with such a compelling honesty, which was really nice, because I mean, these people are considered experts in that field, and for them to give me such kind words,
mm-hmm.
that meant a lot.
Wow. They found you on Facebook. They found you on Facebook.
Yes, the lady actually looked me up on Facebook.
Wow.
She said she couldn't get a hold of me, so she looked me up on Facebook and invited me. I'm like, wow. I mean, 90% of the time, if they can't get a hold of you, they move on. But God bless that woman. She was on a mission. And thank God for me, she was. And, you know, I mean, like I said, sometimes the best things come out of nowhere, and sometimes instead of you looking for them, they look for you. And when
yeah.
that really happens, it's such a blessed feeling.
And
it really is.
That's one seed that you planted that definitely blossomed. It took a little while, you know. Just like real seeds take a little while. It takes years before oak tree completes. But it definitely blossomed. So give it up for you on that one. Let's clap it up for that.
I appreciate that.
No doubt. I'm curious to know how your upbringing in Afghanistan has influenced your life, particularly as an actor.
Well, I left during the Soviet invasion. I left at 2 years old, so I have no memory of Afghanistan whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up actually in Idaho. We were sponsored by an American family, and we grew up there. And I really just got influenced by American culture and really just try to live the way my surroundings presented me. And I got to learn a lot about it through hearing the news, what was going on, because I left in the midst of the decade war with Russia,
mm-hmm.
and asking my mom and dad questions growing up, really trying to understand who I was, because I was living in basically a white America at the time, which is okay, but mm-hmm. you really understood that you were different from everybody else. Not mm-hmm. in a bad way, but just that you were different. You understood you spoke a different language and you had a different belief, and it was really just trying to come to understand who you were. I mean, like Afghanistan, you know, you hear that as a kid, you're like, well, do other people even know where I'm from? Do they even know what that is?
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
when you try to grasp that as a young boy, it can be interesting. But it's that innocence of it, and you try to grasp on or really comprehend what it's all about. But it's motivated me to where, you know, you don't hear about a lot of people from Afghanistan making any marks in the world. All you ever hear is how war-torn it is. Over the past, most of my life, if not all my life, all it knows is misery. I mean, from mm-hmm. the war with Russia to what happened when the Taliban first took over to even 9/11, it's just been a really horrible situation. And I just want to try to rise above that and be a good representative of the country
mm-hmm.
in a situation where all it's had is negativity. And some people have already done that and beat me to the punch. I'm just trying to be one of the people to add on to it.
Very nice, very nice. So as a good representative, I'm sure you're very selective when it comes to choosing roles that might depict your country or your people in a negative light.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm selective as far as how I want to be represented. I mean, I can play the stereotypical terrorist if they wanted me to. I can play something that's gonna poke light fun at my culture. I'm big enough to do that, but I mean, if something was asked of me to do that was offensive, and that my parents or somebody I'm really close to would be against, then I'd have to really consider that.
Yeah, yeah. Now how did your parents react when they found out you played Osama bin Laden in a short?
Honestly, they had no problem with it. I mean, it was really just a harmless thing. It was just a comedic film, a comedic short. It was basically just me dressed up as him, acting like a normal American, asking for directions to where I was going. I had no idea where I was going. So here you are, innocently playing a tourist, having no idea why people are scared to even come near you. So I can appreciate something like that. That's relatively harmless.
Yes. And it adds the versatility of the arsenal that you're developing, right? There's no limits. You want to be versatile.
Right, I can be versatile. And while that had me play of somebody Middle Eastern descent, I mean, still it's something different. As you play in such a huge figure in pop culture, good or bad, he's become such a big name. We're never going to forget his name. So mm-hmm. you have to give him that. Even if you don't want to. I mean, he'll be synonymous with Hitler, Attila the Hun, all those other people that we like to poke fun at.
Exactly, exactly. I want to talk about some of your most challenging work. You earlier explained to me about this role where you had to play the corpse of a dead person, and there were flies around you, and just the whole environment just seemed overbearing. How was that?
Oh, that was really intense, actually. It was a USC thesis directed by Fawaz Al-Matruk. It was called To Rest in Peace, and it was based on a true story of these two dead corpses in Kuwait that everybody ignored, and one man took it upon himself to make sure that they get buried, for he felt that everybody has the right to die with dignity. And mm-hmm. I'm in this abandoned car, all decked out in this grotesque makeup, and basically you have to sit there in the car as if you're dead with your eyes closed. And it was just so real that flies were actually all over me and the other actor I was working with. Big shout out to Ralph Lopez. And it was disgusting. But, you know, you have to have that discipline and not get grossed out and not, like, run away and be like, get all these flies off me. It's just a matter of really trying to ignore that. So it's not one of the more fun moments, but at the same time, it's just part of that discipline as an actor, just to be able to sit there and pretend you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's as easy as people make it out to be, especially when so much realism was involved and to where flies are all over you. I mean, just the thought of it's creeping me out right now thinking about it again.
Were the flies cast for the short, or did they just show up? Did they crash the film?
They just crashed the party, actually. But you think you'd have to ask Fawaz if they got any official credit in the movie. But the movie's really got a lot of attention. It's actually currently in a festival in London. I think it's got nominated for Best Drama, and it was actually at a festival here in Orange County in Huntington Beach, and it gathered some recognition. So it's been getting a lot of attention and a lot of praise, which has been really awesome. I'm getting free exposure internationally, and ultimately that's going to pay off for Fawaz, who directed it. It'll certainly pay off for me too.
Yeah, I'm hoping. Indeed it will. That's just another seed that's growing. That is growing. Big it up for you. Big it up for you. I love it. On a tastier side, let's talk about this recent Doritos commercial that you just submitted for. And how was that experience for you?
Oh, that was a lot of fun. That was about a couple of years ago. I met a gentleman, Gavin Wells, and he was looking to do a commercial for the Super Bowl. They had a contest, CrashTheSuperBowl.com, which anybody could submit a amateur commercial, and the winner would get the grand prize and be featured on the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And he liked me, he liked my look, and he said, "I want you to play the devil." And he really put all his time and money into it, and he thought we had the advantage because we got actually a big-name actress to work with us, Edie McClure.
Right.
Some of you may not know, but Edie McClure has actually been around a long time, and she's probably best remembered for playing the secretary in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, which I'm sure most of us have seen. And so a real character actor has been around. She knows the business, and her and him happen to be good friends, so she plays the angel, and I play the devil, and we put a lot of promotion behind it. We're actually the number one viewed commercial on the website.
Yes, we were.
But we were not even selected as a finalist. So.
Oh wow!
I don't know what to say about that.
So okay, it wasn't for this year. It was for a previous year, like you're saying. Right?
Yes, this was 2009.
Oh, okay, nice. So, oh man, that sucks that y'all had so many views, but you wasn't selected. It just so happens that I submitted myself this year to be a part of it, so I kind of understand how it goes.
I saw that, and I wish you luck.
Thank you very much. So what happens is Doritos chooses the top five, and then the people vote. So, Frito-Lay.
They choose the top five they like the best, and those five get featured on the Super Bowl. And while the grand prize sounded pretty cool, to say the least, they're getting the cut of it, all I wanted was to be shown on Super Bowl Sunday. That would have been more to me than any of the money that could have been thrown at me, because all I could think of is how many people would have watched me Super Bowl Sunday. When you got people who don't even care for football watching the biggest sporting event of the year. That would have been priceless. But, you know, it's okay. I mean, I've got a lot of compliments on that commercial. To this day, everybody says we love that commercial. And you know what? I got that credential under my belt. Nobody can take that away from me. And I made some good friends out of it, and I continue to have a good working relationship with them. So, the way I see it, there's bigger things that await both me and him, as well as others who work on that.
Exactly. And it's funny, you know, even though you wasn't aired on the Super Bowl, thousands of people did see you through, you know, the Doritos website. And those thousands of people, they'll connect the dots eventually when you work on something else. So it's a great thing. It's definitely a great thing. Now, speaking of feedback and reactions to your work, how important is that to you to – when you perform and you get a response from people, or are you okay if no one responds?
Actually, I'm glad you asked that. I think what makes me different from other people is I want them to tell the truth. I give it all every time I'm on stage or whether I'm on a commercial or whatever I'm doing. I really give it my all. I strive to do the best I can do. I mean, what I'm pursuing, I refuse to just do it half-hearted. Otherwise, why am I even pursuing it? I mean, I think that's how an actor should feel. Either do it all or don't do it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want them to tell me how they really feel. And, you know, I'm thick-skinned. I mean, it would be nice in a perfect world for everybody to say all the time, oh, Mir, you're awesome, Mir, you're great, and all that. But that's not realistic. I mean, maybe for some people out there, but truth be told, I just want them to tell me what they really think. If somebody did not like my performance in something, I'd want them to tell me, you know, Mir, I didn't like it, with all due respect. I thought you may could have done more of this, you may could have done less of that. And I'd be like, you know what, thank you for being honest. Cause that's the only way I'll ever get better.
Mm.
That's the only way I'd ever get better. I would want to hear some respectful criticism. I mean, again, I don't mind hearing it as long as it's done within a tasteful manner.
Yeah.
I mean, there may be one or two times where I truly know I did my best, and I may have not agreed with what somebody said, but I mean, you know, 99% of the time, again, if you don't like it, great. I'll remember that for next time. And if it's, in, you know, I respect people's opinions because, you know, you can't act like you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. I mean, I know actors out there who are so sensitive, and they're like, oh, what do you know? You know, I know I did a good job. It's like, no, the fans are what matter. The people are what matter. We all perform for the people. And if they don't like us, then where are we ever going to go?
Exactly.
So I want to please the people. And if they don't like what I did, I would want to listen and see what they wanted more of, and I'd want to deliver.
Exactly.
And then
exactly.
Do it right the next time.
Wonderful. Exactly. So being so outspoken about that, are you comfortable mentioning what your weaknesses are, if you have any at all?
Weaknesses? I don't have any. I'm playing. No, I mean, no, we're not supposed to tell our weaknesses. No, I'm kidding. I would have to say probably one of my weaknesses is I don't sing. I mean, I sing when nobody's paying attention. I sing for comedic purposes, but I'm not a singer. I can hold a note, and I've taken some classes before to help with that, but I would have to say if it came to a musical or something, I would probably be tougher for me to be a part of that show because my singing's not the best.
Mm-hmm.
It's not terrible, but it's not necessarily pleasant either. So I would like to actually improve on that.
So,
but, you know,
it's more than likely it's not at the approval rating of Simon Cowell.
Exactly. He wouldn't approve me, but you know, I know he's probably heard worse, and I've seen that show, and I'm like, I know I'm at least better than that guy. So, well, no, I want to show respect to what people do. Again, I'm not going to call myself a singer because I think that would be an insult to those who actually are pursuing a career in that. I would like to get better at it, and again, make my weaknesses minimal. It's not my strongest suit. I don't want to just sit here and say, oh, well, and let it just continue to be a lingering weakness. I like to improve on it and make it sound decent. Because I've been told I have a strong voice. I've been told I have a nice voice. I mean, others said this. I'm not saying it, ladies and gentlemen. But and I mean, if that's true, then having a better singing voice could only help me.
Exactly.
And so I would like to actually improve on it, maybe take some classes down the road when I get more time to do that and see what can be done.
And that's what the jack of all trades will do to improve by any means necessary. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Motown Maurice, and I am on the line with Mir Wais Najibi. Am I saying your middle name right? Wais Najibi?
Wais.
Mir Wais Najibi. Mir Wais Najibi. I'm just jacking your name all up. I apologize about that. But we do have a caller on the line that wants to talk to you, Mir. And we're going to take caller right now. Yes. We have a caller. So that caller is from area code 714. You are on the line right now. What's your name, your comment, or your question? Hello, are you there? Okay, I guess that caller can't hear us. Sorry about that. We're going to move on and get this conversation going.
No worries.
It keep the conversation going. So, Mir, what I want to ask you is, who inspires you the most as an actor? What actor out there that inspires you the most?
Actually, growing up, because I was really glued to TV and what I saw on it, I'd have to say John Ritter was a big inspiration as a kid. I grew to really like him. I mean, Three's Company, that was a show, man. Just his characteristics in the show, the physical attributes he had, he was willing to just go to great lengths just to draw that result, to get that laugh. He played that role of Jack Tripper so naturally, and I felt like him in some ways, you know? I mean, I don't think I was the ladies' man he was, and I wasn't a gourmet chef as far as the character Jack Tripper, but I was clumsy, and I was a goofball. And I identified with him, and you would have so thought that was himself, and I really followed his career and really enjoyed him.
Yes, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that. My mom, who's a fan of my show, of course, she is a big fan of Jack Tripper, and I grew up watching Three's Company because of my mom. And I love, rest in peace, the late Jack Tripper, but his work is impeccable. His physical cool comedy, he is at the best. And he does it so natural. So
I agree. He left us too soon.
He really did. But he was so great at what he did. It's so funny. One of the few people I can say that genuinely makes me laugh, because I don't laugh easily. So, wow. Is there anyone else?
Jack Nicholson. I mean, when you see him, you're just thinking, that guy is just so cool. I mean, no matter how old he is now, I mean, I like the presence he has about himself. I mean, there's just a certain level of respect that he's earned. Mm-hmm. And you hear he's one of the good guys around. I mean, you know, he's like a regular guy. You'll see him at the Laker games and everything. You know, it's not... I mean, he doesn't appear to be too into himself, but at the same time, he is. Like, he doesn't have to be. He walks around, he's like, I'm Jack Nicholson. I don't have to put on this facade or whatever. I'm going to get the respect because I've earned it.
Exactly.
And I think a lot of young actors could learn from him, because you hear some people sometimes get a chip on their shoulder, and, you know, it's like, you know what? You know, the less you act that way, the more you're respectively given to you. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, with his line of work, I mean, if I could have a fraction of his work when it's all said and done, I'd be a happy guy. Jack's the man.
Oh, man, if I could be respected at games like him, he's literally a part of the Laker team.
Yeah, you know, they probably gave him a championship ring every time they win. You know, just an honorary one.
I wouldn't be surprised, because he's an important component of that team these days. It is so funny. Oh, and he's going to come now that the NBA is back. Oh, he's fired up. He's definitely
He's fired up. He has his tickets ready, and they'll probably make it up to him, you know, or somehow. But, yeah, he's been a big inspiration to me. I mean, one of my favorite roles was him when he played the Joker in Batman.
Yeah.
And I know that franchise has gotten into many different directions over the years, but it's just one of my favorite movies.
Oh, yeah.
It was really because of him. I mean, he's playing himself. He played it so naturally.
You know, it's funny when you mentioned that, that's definitely the role that came to mind. I love the line that he gave, where does he get those wonderful toys? That's classic.
Yeah, yeah. And just the way he smiled and everything, you know, with all due respect to others who played the role, I mean, rest in peace, Heath Ledger, another great actor whom I admired. I just loved the way Nicholson played that role.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that one, I'm more drawn to than the other.
Yep.
even though the other got an Academy Award, and I mean, I'm not taking nothing away from it. I'm just, you know, we're talking like a very slight edge here, but they're both very different types of characters.
Yes, yes, yes.
Similar at the same time.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Mir Wise Najibi is on the line with me, and I'm going to try this caller one more time, so be ready. I don't know what happened last time. So caller from area code 714-916, you are on the line right now. What's your name? What's your comment? What's your question? Are you there?
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. We can hear you now.
Oh, okay. I can't hear me. This is Juliet. I'm a friend of Mir's.
Oh, Juliet. Hey.
Hi, sweetheart. I sent you a comment on there. I don't know if you guys read it.
Okay, we'll check it out later. Definitely. But share a little bit about how you know Mir and everything.
Well, I wrote to him because I'm his Sammy girl. He was my sweet gangsta. We did a play over last summer over at the old Liberty Theater called Speakeasy Baby. Mm-hmm. And I was the sassy speakeasy waitress, and he was the cute, sweet gangster. He was the star of the show. He was amazing, and I just wanted to give him a shout-out.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was probably one of the more fun roles I had done. I'm glad you mentioned that. Thank you, Juliet. Yeah, it was like a 1920s gangster show based out of Chicago, and there's a lot of authenticity to that play. I mean, the language, the lingo, the costumes, music. I mean, it was really probably one of the most fun roles I've ever played, and had a catchphrase that was heard around the world that my character had, and it took on a life of its own. Ain't that the bear?
And I work as a professional life coach, and also I'm really good friends with Mir, and I wanted to give him a shout-out because he really has a story. I mean, if you guys could even have more time or do another radio show, I mean, Mir, change of lives, and I'm very passionate, and he's a big supporter about stopping bullying and hatred all over the world, and he's come to a lot of my life coaching seminars that I hold and been a part of that and came and really set the bar on our last marketing meeting, and I just wanted to give him a shout-out for all his support and everything that he does because he really has a story about what my logo is Shine On, and what that means when you're bullied and have hate in your life, your whole life, and how you can still matter, be enough, and have a purpose and a legacy. And Mir's story, and he will tell his story one day, it will change lives. And he can probably do a lot with that with his acting. I wanted him to kind of talk.
Awesome. Thank you. I think I've been telling you there's a lot of chapters that are still being written.
Well, thank you so much for calling and sharing that. We greatly appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome.
Thank
Take
you,
care.
Well, I love here. He has so many stories.
Yes, yes, yes. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Wow, I didn't expect that one.
So how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel pretty good. Like I said, everybody's a fan, everybody's a critic. You know, we got along really well during that play. I mean, she like played my love interest, and oh man, it was funny. It was a lot of fun, though. I mean, I guess since you mentioned it, I'll elaborate on it a little bit. But yeah, you know, I've become a little bit of an advocate about bullying and teasing in schools. I mean, growing up, I actually went through a lot of that. And acting was my release. And I'm actually trying to find the mode and means, of trying to shed some light on that, becoming an ambassador of some sort. I'm still looking for a way to do that. I went through a lot of that through elementary and junior high and high school. And it's become such an epidemic now. I look at this thinking, why wasn't there this much attention towards that when I was in school?
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, who knows if it would have made a difference or not. But nowadays, I see, you know what? While it was hard for me, I mean, nowadays with the new advances in technology and stuff, it gives people more opportunity to be really cruel to other kids. It's really sad. Mm-hmm. But I feel really fortunate that nothing worse happened to me, as hard as it was. You know, I stuck to my guns and I prayed, and eventually I survived it. You know, I'm not saying that it's only a victim or ask for a medal, but I mean, I was just fortunate that I survived it, and I wish that for anybody else who's going through it, and it really needs to stop. And,
Well, in behalf of everyone that's been a victim and everyone that is supports the cause, thank you for being an advocate for that. It's such great of you, and you can't be holding out on me, Mir. I mean, I'm ready to go on another hour, but we got to end the show. You can't be holding out on me with all these stories that you got inside of you. You know, you gotta let a host know.
Like I said, a lot of chapters to be written, Motown.
Well, we'll definitely discover those chapters over time, and I really appreciate starting this particular chapter right here with you and engraving our name in history on this radio show. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Mir Wise Najibi, and he is telling his story. We got to go right now. Can you tell them how to find you or how they can locate you? Anything like that, or what should they Google you?
You look me up on Facebook. It's Mir Wise Najibi. That's MirWaiss and then Najibi. You probably just typed up my first name. I should show up. I'll be on there.
Cool.
Type my name on Yahoo. Probably a few links to some work I did. Not a hard guy to find.
Absolutely. Well, keep on doing your work. Don't forget a brother as you move up in the world. I'd love to join a project with you in the future. Does that sound okay with you?
You tell me when and where. We'll do it.
We will make it happen. So once again, thank you for being on the show. Is it okay if I ask you maybe one more question before we go?
Absolutely.
Okay. And I'm sure you can answer this question because you are the jack of all trades. So the jack of all trades got to have all the answers. So I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to ask you now, Mir, who is the future of late night television?
Motown Maurice, the future of late night television, part of his show.
Indeed, that is the correct answer from the jack of all trades, Mir Wise Najibi himself. So thank you so much for being on the show. I greatly appreciate you. We're going to keep in contact and keep in touch. Keep on doing what you're doing, and a special thanks for all the work you're doing with the bullying and your efforts.
Thank you. It's an honor to be a part of this show. I look forward to doing it again.
Thank you. So take care and be blessed.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Mir, the jack of all trades, doing it all in the industry in Hollywood, taking this territory one step at a time as he improves his arsenal. He is doing it, and he's improving and making a difference in the community. Thank you for our caller that called in. Thank you to all the online listeners. Make sure you check out this and forward it around to friends, because people need to know who Mir is and the great work that he is doing. So thank you once again, Mir. This is Motown Maurice. Check out my website, MotownMaurice.com, the quest of a late night talk show host. Greatly appreciate you. Take care. Be blessed. Later.